Hello, I'm Robert Lomas, and I want to talk to you about the problem of keeping up lodge morale during these trying times. This period of necessary social distancing presents enormous, potentially existential, threats to Freemasonry. For hundreds of years, our order has survived to practice brotherly love, relief and truth, secure in the continuity of our lodges. Secret lodges have been held in prisoner of war camps, on battlefields, and in hostile occupied territories, and we've always managed to meet together and share our thoughts and hopes. But now, for the first time, we've been advised for our own good that we should not meet. It's advice we need to follow to limit the spread of this pernicious virus and to best protect our older brethren. I know it's hard to fight back our natural instinct to offer the hand of friendship to a brother, but we can't. Our meeting halls and our temples are dark while we sit at home in worthy self-isolation for the good of the whole population. But we mustn't forget that it's the bond of regular meetings, shared rituals and mutual toasting that forms a casual, unremarked fraternal camaraderie. And that's what normally keeps our companionship fresh and alive. What can we do as we sit at home with only a smartphone for company? And that's a situation that can be quite common among some of our older or widowed brethren. If we get out of the habit of interacting with our lodges, then we will drift away, and there's a real risk that we will lose members who will find other outlets for their fraternal feelings. I have now tested and am refining a simple method of holding a basic virtual lodge meeting. When I suggested this idea of holding a virtual lodge to some elder brethren of my acquaintance, their first response was, "I can't sort out those complicated online conference calls. I only have a phone and email." When I pointed out that all they need to do is click on an attachment to an email, which will then download and run an audio file, they quickly warmed to the idea. I suspect they already know the joys of radio that I'm going to talk about later. Our present situation is unique in the history of the craft, and it demands a unique response. We are forced into individual solitude, and the invisible nature of the threat means we cannot meet without endangering our respected elder brethren. The nearest experience I can remember to the present circumstances are the dark days of the Blitz that my mother and my nine, as I call her in Welsh, experienced in Salford during the Second World War. Nine ran a small bakery shop, and Mam was conscripted to work on the buses. My father was a territorial soldier with the Royal Artillery and was called up immediately. Both Mam and Nine talked about the loneliness in the Anderson shelter when they dared not even stay in the house, not even cowering under the kitchen table. What they remembered as helping them most get through that time was listening to the radio. They had a small radio in the shelter. It wasn't a portable, but it was a small valve radio which ran on a mains lead, which they had to plug in via a long wire into the light socket in the back kitchen. My father had rigged it up before he went off to war. As they sat in that well-shrouded, candle-lit dark, punctuated by the rumbling of aero engines and the distant thud of bombs falling on Manchester, they could take comfort from the friendly voices talking about things that they were interested in. After the war, Nine passed on her love of radio to me, and I grew up listening to Journey into Space, The Goon Show, The Billy Cotton Band Show, Wakey Wakey, and The Navy Lark. There's an intimacy about the spoken voice that makes you feel you know the speaker, and they are talking directly to you. It's the ceremony of personal spoken ritual which gives Freemasonry its power to absorb and attract us. So faced with this problem of how to keep up lodge morale in these trying times, I thought back to my nine sitting alone in the bomb shelter, listening to the radio in the dark, while my mother was working on a night shift on the buses. Nine often said what a comfort a human voice is, and it made her feel she wasn't alone. There's a modern equivalent to that old-fashioned radio, and that's the audio podcast. If I want the members of a lodge, all sitting alone in their own homes, to feel they are sharing an experience together, then a podcast is a way forward. I've been experimenting with methods of production and delivery which will work for any brother who can open an email on their smartphone. MP3 files are universal, and if sent as an email attachment, they open and speak to you when you click on them from the email client. The other week I had a problem that I couldn't attend a Schraff Lodge for whom I was doing a lecture on the secrets of the third degree, and also a chapter, who were expecting to hear an explanation of the platonic solids in the furniture of the chapter. I had PowerPoint lectures which I give regularly for both topics, so I decided to turn them into scripts for 20-minute podcasts. It was relatively easy for the third degree, but I found I needed to send a separate PDF file to show a few diagrams for the chapter podcast. My plan was to ask the master of the lodge, or principal head of the chapter, to email round the news that the meeting had to be cancelled, but they would be circulating a podcast lecture on the day of the meeting, and encourage the brethren to find a quiet spot to listen to it, at a time they would normally open the lodge. The secretaries and scribes then emailed the podcast to the members on the meeting date, along with an encouraging letter from the master or the principal. They also asked the members to be careful as the podcast was private to the meeting, not being suitable for the general public or even for Masons in lower degrees. The wording used by White Hills Lodge was, "Please appreciate, brethren, the podcast is for your ears only and should be kept safe or deleted when finished and not passed on." The mailing list for the members is operated by the scribe or the secretary and remains private to the lodge. Regular visitors can be included in a separate mailing list if they ask to join in a virtual visit. That is at the discretion of the secretary or scribe. The email also asks the brethren to email any questions to the secretary, and I arranged to create a follow-up podcast to answer the questions, with the WM or principal posing them to me over Skype and naming the brother who had asked the question so I could address them directly. That podcast would later be circulated by the secretary. Those first two runs generated a great deal of interest, and I have since added two new features to these sessions. One is an idea to encourage the members to raise a glass at 9 o'clock to absent brethren, when the hands of the clock form a square. We use a slightly different version of the traditional toast, and it goes like this. To all absent and self-isolating brethren, a speedy relief to their suffering, and a swift return to their mother lodge, if their circumstances so permit and they so desire. Before they deliver the toast, I suggest that each individual brother stands and imagines that he is in his own lodge, and looks around and acknowledges each of his brethren at the hour of 9, just as he recites the toast in union. It's also possible to send an Almoner's podcast via a separate email. No special technical knowledge beyond how to operate the lodge email list is needed to distribute a podcast. I intend to create a full series of education lectures for all degrees, including descriptions of the ceremony, narrations of the tracing board lecture, and selections from the catechismal lectures for each degree. This will enable lodges who want to use the material to complete a full education program for the craft degrees over 6 podcasts. As some lodges may have entered apprentices or fellow crafts for whom the higher degree podcast would not be appropriate, I also intend to provide podcasts of suitable catechismic lectures. This will avoid excluding brethren whilst developing their knowledge of the degrees they already hold. For more general interest, as not all brethren will want a diet of unremitting education, I intend to produce a series of lectures about my Masonic heroes. These will include Sir Robert Murray, George Stevenson, Thomas Telford, Elias Ashmould, and Enrico Fermi. None of us have any idea how long this session of Dark Lodges will continue, so I intend to create a full library of podcasts to help fill the gap left by cancelled meetings for at least 6 months. If we do not take this unique opportunity to work together to keep our lodges engaged, then even after it is safe to meet again, we might find many brethren have drifted away and we have no lodge to return to. The first podcasts of the programme are ready to run, brethren, and I will be transforming all of my 26 lodge lectures into podcasts over the next few weeks. If you're interested in helping your local lodges to use these podcasts to run virtual meetings, then get in touch with whoever provided you with this podcast. It's up to you, masters of lodges and principals of chapters, to make use of this material offered to help you keep the faint glimmer of light in the east alive until we finally see the rising of the bright morning star heralding a new Masonic dawn. Please accept my fraternal good wishes to you and yours, and keep well in this time of crisis. Thank you for listening.